Go ahead and stand just for a moment. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1. If I were to give this a title, I'm really going to just look at most of the passage, but I'm going to call it Repent and Believe the Gospel. I've mentioned about preaching a message about this for some time, and I'm encouraged by what's in this passage here. But in Mark chapter 1, again, as we begin, I always remember when you open your Bible, I was reminded of this week that this is the inerrant. That means there's no errors. Infallible. That means there's no mistakes at all. It's the Word of God. And when you go to your private devotions and you open and you trying to decide whether or not should you spend time in the Word of God or listen to the news first or something, I've got a choice to make. I could open the perfect Word of God from the God who is love and read about Him and hear from Him, or I could just do whatever I want to do. Because Satan always, and things that are precious are often not easy to attain, and the Word of God is precious. So that's why you think, well, if it's so special, how come it's difficult to read it sometimes? Anybody, is the Bible easy to read every time you open it? And it's not just me. It's sometimes I read it myself and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I'm having trouble here? Because things that are precious demand sometimes a little bit more investment. And number one, if the Bible is true in what it says about itself, it really being the Word of God, that means there's an opposition when you open the Word of God. You know, Micah delivers the mirror, the paper there. You know, if everything was of great value in the advertisements, they wouldn't have to put half naked people in there. They wouldn't have to have enticements to get you to look. They try to do something to draw you in, because those things that are negative, Satan tried to pull us in according to the flesh. But God wants us to pull us into His Word with the reality of who He is and reality of a relationship with Him. But that being said, I just want to make it clear, you're not standing for the preacher. We're standing because this is the Word of God, and that we might give our full attention and reverence to it. In verse number 1 of Mark chapter 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thee, before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. That's some tough undergarments, amen. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. Now here's your totally organic diet right here. And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, and who I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Father, thank you for the gospel. Change our minds this service about what we think about the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now thank you for standing to show reverence to the Word of God. You know, what amazing passages every passage in the Word of God is. And as we look down a few verses here, as I was reading through this again one last time this morning, you know, it just occurred to me in verse number 6, you see about John being clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of his skin about his loins. And, John was without pretense. There was John, though John stood out for his bizarre clothing, there was nothing about him that tried to do something about himself to validate his message. He recognized the uniqueness of him being a child of God, uniqueness of him being a servant of God, and there was nothing about him that had the earthly speaking to do anything to enhance what he was trying to do. He simply just had to be obedient. And I like, now verse 7, this really caught me this morning. This is what he's preaching. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I. So John had some degree of understanding about the significance of his position in this world. He recognized that what he was here to do was not just some light or vain purpose or empty purpose. He recognized that he had a mighty purpose. I wonder how many of God's people today really realize that you have a mighty purpose. That you really realize that the life that God has called you to live is not just something where you just eke through and just survive, but your calling is a mighty purpose. And as Jesus told us, we are the light of the world. Now, if we embrace that mighty purpose, that eternal purpose, that purpose from God that allows us to do more than just to affect the temporal circumstances around us, if we embrace that mighty purpose, we embrace understanding that there is one mightier than I. Because the only reason we can actually, by faith and with great confidence and with great boldness, embrace a mighty purpose is because there is the mighty God. And the mighty God. Now, you can say amen right there. That's okay. Because the mighty God, which made heaven and earth, is the one that validates, empowers, and actually gives the life of all things meaning. And he says, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. John, he says, you know what? Jesus is so much greater than I that I don't even have I'm not worthy enough to even touch his shoelaces. And now I want you to understand this is pretty significant. Now listen to what I'm saying. You know, so often we beat ourselves down by what we think we are. Now this is John's estimation of the value of Jesus Christ. Now if you remember what Jesus said about John? Jesus said of John, there is none greater born among women than John the Baptist. Now, so what I'm trying to get across is that John is not making that statement because he sees himself of such low, miserable worth and value. John is making that statement because he recognizes that Jesus is at a level just so high that his worthiness couldn't be worthy even to stoop down and unlace his shoes. And if we actually recognize that, you know, that's why we could actually sing 1 John where it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. If you ever catch the glory of that, one of the great things about being born again is that you're one of God's children. And, you know, if we really think that and we understand that, a lot of baggage that we continually battle with ourselves, we just wouldn't think that way. We would just realize, okay, God, through the merits of the one who's so high, that the greatest man born among women is not worthy enough to stoop down and latch his shoes. By the merits of his glory, his greatness, his power, I am made a son of the living God. So that is the platform by which my faith is built, based upon his power, his magnitude. And somehow he's so great that he could cover all my sins, forgive all my sins, remove them as far as the east is from the west, call me his child, and then when I, as a servant of his, I am serving him as a child, not a tainted, worked over sinner. I mean, thank God for salvation. Amen. That's the power of the gospel. The gospel. And if you think about it, if you really realize that, that's better than a positive self-esteem, because the self-esteem is keep looking at me as a value point. It's keep looking at me for what I'm doing, what I've done. Whereas no, it's what he's done. And it's who he is. And the greatness of who he is allows me to worship and serve in his name. Now he says here, I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John. And straightway, immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. So as Jesus is fulfilling all righteousness, he's submitting to baptism, which is God's authority, that John, the man sent from God. And it says, there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved son. Now, if you know what John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the son of God. Now the voice that said that this is my beloved son, that same voice says that when you receive Christ, but as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty powerful. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Now Jesus is doing it. He's completing the Father's will. And it takes him to the wilderness. To do what? And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. So the perfect will of God doesn't always take you to the glory land, but it does take you to the victory land. He went into the wilderness. He battled with Satan, was tempted 40 days, and was there with the wild beasts, and the angels of God sustained him, ministered unto him. Now, in verse 14, it says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, first thing I want to make note of, if you're taking notes mentally or physically, that now the message is repent and believe the gospel. So we must repent and believe that the gospel really is the gospel. The Bible says repent and believe the gospel. Now, gospel means good news. We need to repent and believe that the gospel is the good news. You know, now if you believe the Bible, and if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon has had pretty much everything that the world has to offer. And know what he said about all of it? He says none of it's good news. He says none of it is the gospel. He had wealth, he had riches, he had fame, he had power, he had wives, he had concubines, he had everything that in the human realm someone could think, you know, I would like to have that. And Solomon, at the end of his day, he said, all of this is not good news. His words were, behold, all is vanity. And he didn't say it's just vanity, but he said, behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So everything under the sun is vanity and vexation of spirit. And Jesus comes after John put in prison, and he says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. He said, there is good news. The gospel is the good news. And, you know, if we really believe that, you know, I'm always reminded, you know, of course, in the neighborhood where I minister in and where some of you live, there's always people looking for handouts and things like that. But Peter and John, when the lame man was at the tomb, at the temple, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given by thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They knew they had the gospel. They knew they had the good news. And because they knew they had the good news, it freed them from the expectation of thinking, you know, what should I do to this person? No, I really have the good news. I really have something. I actually have that which is good news. I can continually sustain him in his lame condition, or I could give him the good news of the gospel. And in the lives that we live, we have a choice to make in this world. You know, I've said it before, we can believe the gospel, or we can be involved in what I would call Christian palliative care. And palliative care basically is what you just, basically, you do good for someone while they're waiting to die. And the average church and the average believer is involved in Christian palliative care. And I've been guilty of this, like much of Christianity has been. I go out and I do good deeds to comfort a lost and dying world. And many times, because of not believing that verse, but being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, I'm just comforting the lost sinners around me while I'm waiting for them to die. And God wants me to repent and believe the gospel. to believe, and all of us to believe, that the gospel really is the gospel, that the message of the reality of the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ really is the good news that will transform and change in the life of anyone that hears the gospel. Hold your place in Mark chapter 1 and turn to Galatians chapter number 1. In Galatians chapter 1, we see the word of God says, Paul, an apostle, not of men. Now, this is what you always have to remember. If God ever calls you to do something, it's not of men. Don't live for the praise of men. Don't be affected by the criticism of men. Neither by man. He said, not of men, neither by men. So I'm not an apostle of men. I wasn't made an apostle by men, but by Jesus Christ. I was called by Jesus Christ. And he said, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren with me, which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. This is part of the gospel. Our sins are not the end because of the gospel. Jesus gave himself for our sins. When we could face eternal consequences for our sins, Jesus gave himself for our sins in our place. That's the gospel. You know, if we really believe that, you know, we look at this world and we say, what's the answer? I heard somebody it was a sports station, and we were talking about something happened. They said that there's a suicide bombing, I think in Baghdad or something, and a statement in the world, this world is going to hell in a handbasket, and people don't know what to do. And the answer is, there's good news. It's the gospel, that there's people that can be saved by the gospel, and we must go forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ and share that with people and tell them. And but it says in verse 4, again, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that is called unto you, called into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now notice it, which is not another. Now, if you know, I'll give you a little background on the book of Galatians. What the book of Galatians does, it talks about they were incorporating good works unto salvation. And they were moved from the reality that the greatest truth of the gospel we ever hear is that Jesus paid it all. I never give when I was saved. That's my salvation song. You know, I kept going around saying, Jesus paid it all, because as a young person, I thought I had to be stronger, smarter, and I had to do more, that God would finally find favor in me, that he would make me one of his children. But the reality is that Jesus paid it all. And in the book of Galatians, they were trying to add circumcision to salvation. And then he said, and he's right, he's kind of concluded, I marvel that you so removed from the grace of Christ into another gospel. But he said, it's not another. There's only one gospel. So when the Bible says repent and believe the gospel, we need to repent, change our mind, and believe the gospel, the good news. There's only one. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. This is pretty serious. So because we need to believe the gospel. And again, gospel means good news. You know, if we would follow Jesus' admonition in Mark chapter 1, change our mind, repent, and believe the gospel. Remember, Jesus came into a world that the gospel came into a world that really did not want the Savior. You know, some cried Hosanna for a moment of time, and then next few moments they cried, crucify him. When the religious world began to understand that salvation was only in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, they wanted him dead. This was not a happy time for many people, but the reality was the gospel is still the gospel. And we live in a greatly religious society that is looking for another gospel, a gospel that says that my works sustain me, my works exalt me, my good works separate me, instead of my Savior being the all in all. Back in Mark chapter 1, where we started, Mark chapter 1, So number one, we must repent and believe that the gospel really is the gospel. In my notes, I put the capital T-H-E because there's only one gospel. You know, I know from being a lost sinner that there are many things I thought were the good news for my life. I thank God for my lovely wife there. This year I'll be married 26 years. And you know, when she met me, she thought I was the good news. But she found out that without Christ, I was really bad news. But when the gospel met me, God took this person that was bad news and changed him into good news. And he's still continually working on that. But apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no good news. There's times when I thought, you know, if I just had, as I endeavored to try to get into West Point, you know, as a young person in high school, once I got in, that would be the good news. And I remember waiting, and finally the Phil Graham, the state senator at that time, state reverend, called me and told me that I'd received my appointment at West Point. That was good news, but it was not the good news. It was not the gospel, because that which I thought was going to make my life complete soon faded away. I think of every sports accomplishment, every academic achievement, everything that I tried to get to that was looking for good news, it did not do it. Only the gospel. Number two, so we must repent and believe that the gospel can save at any time. But Jesus makes a very powerful statement here in verse number 15. And saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So the time is fulfilled. Right now the kingdom of God is available. And then he said, repent ye and believe the gospel. You know, I was excited about coming to church this morning because I believe that God, the gospel can save at any time. Even with this small number of people, you never don't have any idea who really has believed the gospel unto salvation or some that have believed the gospel unto salvation need to revive their hearts and go out and share the gospel with somebody else that they can be saved unto salvation. You know, to change the way that you witness to people and change the way you talk to people. Mike and I were at a meeting for a couple of days and I was witnessing to the, I went down to grab a cup of coffee in the morning for breakfast and I witnessed to the staff member, the lady that worked all night, the night manager, and I just preached the gospel. And I got excited just sharing the gospel. And she said, you know what, you give me so much to think about. I never really realized all that before. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, the gospel really does save people. I gave her my testimony, told her how God saved me by the power of the gospel. And you know, right now she could be getting saved right now because of the power of the gospel. And you got to believe when you go out in this world, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family members, those that may not even seem like they have any interest in God whatsoever. We got to change our mind and believe that that's what repent means. Change our mind, change our direction, change our thinking about the gospel and really believe that the time is fulfilled, that since Jesus came, and he's been buried, he's been resurrected from the grave, everything's been fulfilled. People can be born again right now at any time. And that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we drop gospel tracts. That's why we send out text messages and emails and everything under the sun to try to bring people to the reality of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why we're in a basement meeting of a library on a Sunday morning, because of the power of the gospel. You know, if it were just some great, strong religious edifice or great building, we would throw it all in. But because the gospel really is the gospel, and because if we really embrace reality, then it can save any time. I sent out several text messages and called different people, hoping and praying they would get here today because I believe the gospel. And so some of them didn't come, but you know what? I still got to preach the gospel to them by inviting them. And I told him exactly, I said, you need to come today. I'm going to be preaching repent and believe the gospel. And because that's what works and that's what God would have us here for to do. John chapter 3, hold your place here. We're going to continually work out of the book of Mark. But in John chapter 3, it says, beginning of the word of God. Oh, not John. I mean John 1. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That seems like a rather interesting response to them praising Jesus Christ. He said, I know you're a teacher come from God. He said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, Jesus knows how we think. They're enamored with his miracles. They're enamored with his power. They, just like the world today, teachers, preachers, are exalted more than God himself. Many people's faith in God comes and goes based on religious leaders and religious officials, instead of just really believing that it's Jesus Christ alone. So Jesus stops them, even though he knows who he is. He says, now, the most important thing I need you to focus on is that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it's not your faith in my miracles. It's not even knowing what God can do. You must be born again. And the gospel said you can be born again at any time. That's why he said the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. This is why Satan is so content with a lot of religious information. You know, it's good to know what church you belong to and why you go to that church. But it's better to know Jesus Christ and to be born again. Because if you're born again and you're one of God's children, you can hear his voice. And you may not know every doctrine thing that this book has to offer, but you'll know your Father's voice. And he'll tell you where to go, when to go, and how long to be there. And his voice leads you to the Word of God. And it's amazing. You know what I found through the years after being born again? When I'm struggling with something in my life, the Spirit of God would kind of direct me. And then I'll open my Bible. And then the very thing I'm struggling with will be right here. Or I'll go to a meeting or go to church and hear a message. And the very Word of God, that thing I was, God, I don't know what the answer is, but I feel like you're telling me to do this. Then the Word of God will come in and confirm exactly what God is leading and directing me in. It's amazing how that works. But that's the reality of being one of God's children. And Jesus says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There must be new birth. And I'm here to tell you today that right now, the good news is that you can be born again right now. It's just a matter of believing the gospel, embracing the gospel, trusting the gospel. Says Nicodemus saith unto him, verse 4, John 3, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, Rabbi, I just said you're a teacher come from God. I mean, we know that God is on you. You're doing miracles. What more do you want? He said, Nicodemus, talking about a new birth. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Nicodemus needed to be born again, and Jesus was there in his presence that he could be born again right now. Back in Mark chapter 1, we need to repent and believe that the gospel really is the gospel. Is the gospel good news to you today? Is it good news to your neighbors? Is it good news to your family members? Is it good news to your co-workers? Is it good news to your enemies? It is good news because your enemies don't have to be your enemies. They can become your brothers, sisters, and neighbors and friends in Christ. Mark chapter 1. Now we must repent and believe that the gospel not only can save at any time, but we must repent and believe that the gospel can catch anyone. Because in verse 17, Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make ye to become fishers of men. You know, one of the things that I know as independent Baptists we fail to do, we think sometimes we need to become fishers of false doctrine. We think we need to fish out every bad thing under the sun. We define out what's wrong with every doctrine, define every cult that's out there. Instead of Jesus said, I need you to fish for men. I need to go catch some men. You know, he didn't say go out fish for fallacies. We recognize as we walk with God, we recognize that there's false doctrine things out there, but Jesus called. We need to repent and believe that the gospel can't catch anyone. You know, it bothers me what ISIS does, but you know what bothers me more is that, you know, we don't have enough believers that go out and believe the gospel can save ISIS people. You know, the gospel can save your most extreme, hardened Islamic terrorists. The gospel can save the wicked and most vile murderer. The gospel can save anyone. The Bible said that we can, that Jesus said, I will make you become fishers of men. You know, and that means fisher is one who's employed in catching fish. That means, you don't, you know, the gospel is not fishing just like I do. Like when I go fishing, I'm content to be on the water and just throw out the line just to throw it out there, you know. I just like the water so much. I don't care about catching fish if I go in the water. Now, if somebody bring me some, I'll be glad to eat it. But if I go, I don't really care about catching them. And that's really because I'm not like some people when they go fishing, they're fishing for their livelihood. Well, when I go fishing, I'm just going enjoying the scenery, enjoying the world, enjoying the nature out there. I guess that's kind of like the way a lot of God's people fish. Well, I'm just enjoying the scenery. I'm enjoying the world. Who cares if I catch anything or not? That's why we need to repent and believe the gospel can catch anyone. You know, next time you give a gospel tract, ask God for the power of the Spirit of God to be in your heart to really believe. Lord, I'm not just giving this out because it's a good thing to do. I'm giving out this gospel tract because I really believe this is the one you're going to catch. You know, I'm preaching today because I believe the gospel can catch somebody in here. I'm not preaching because it's just something to do. When I witnessed Libby that morning, and when I witnessed to different people, I didn't just throw it out there because, well, you know, I'm a preacher. I should just share this. I believe it can catch anybody. And it may need to catch you today. Maybe there's somebody here today that needs to be born again. And Romans chapter 4, I want you to see something. I think one of the reasons sometimes we don't believe the gospel can catch anyone is that sometimes we don't really understand the gospel itself. That, you know, salvation is a gift of God. It's by the grace of God. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now catch this. And that not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God in his grace, he paid the sacrifice. He extended mercy. And he paid it all. And all we have to do is receive it. It's just a question of whether if we believe it, we receive it. To believe it, we have to change our mind. We have to come helpless before God and realize there's nothing else we can do to get to God. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one way I can actually get to him. It's through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. I love this. If you're saved, this will make you happy, I hope. If it doesn't, I'm still gonna be happy. So what should we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Now, so it's talking about Abraham. Some we call, he was called a friend of God. Sometimes we call his father of many nations. And, you know, he had a great test of faith where God told him he'd have a son. He waited till he was over 100. And Sarah was 90. And the Bible says Sarah's womb was dead. And is a had ceased to be with her after the manner of women. And the Bible says Abraham's body was now dead, but Abraham believed God, and they had children, amen. And he says, now, for if Abraham, now catch them, not Abraham, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. So if Abraham were able to be justified by works, he could glory in his great faith, but he just couldn't glory before God, because it would be his own works. Because nobody's like God. So remember, see, you know how Abraham had a child with Sarah? It wasn't because of his strong vitality. It wasn't because, you know, they say, from what I understand, the childbearing man is within the man, whatever they say determines, whatever. I'm going to get into technically detail, but I mean, just say there was nothing left in Abraham that could give a child, amen? But it says, but for what the scripture says, now we need to find out what the scripture says. Abraham believed God, and it counted, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, a lot of times we don't really believe the gospel can catch anyone because I think sometimes we think that we did more to be born again than we really had to be born again. Okay, Abraham, if you know the story, I'll just repeat it again. Sarah was 90 years of age. As we would say to Grace, she was would it be postmenopausal? That means the womb, there's nothing left on the inside where she could have children. Because the Bible says the womb was dead. And the Bible said it ceased to be after man or women. That means that it's just not going to happen. It's physically, genetically impossible. But Abraham, he believes God. And God says, you know what, that counts for righteousness. He believed and he counted. And because he counted, guess what happened? Birth. Are you with me? Because Abraham believed God's word, that God said you can have a son. He believed, it counted, there was birth. Jesus said you must be born again. We believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus being the perfect Lamb of God that died for all our sins, paid the sacrifice, was buried, took our death to the grave, rose from the dead, proving that power of life and death in his hands. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. So a person believes, God counts it, and he gives them life. Amen. That's the new birth. It's no power in the prayer. It's no power in the baptism. It's no power in the church membership. It's power in believing. For by grace, it was all a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. That belief is what God counts. Because if we try to work, we try to do it. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So if my best, holiest religious effort is before God a filthy rag, why can I look at any lost sinner that I would think to be filthy by my own estimation? I think, man, that one's too hard to get. Where it's just grace to believe. Because Abraham, we look at him, he just believed God. He believed God and it counted. It says, verse 3 again, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Okay, so if you work, there's no reward. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned. That means the reward of grace is not paid, but you have a debt. That's all the righteousness of his filthy rags. You know, you're not saved by what you can do. I remember talking to someone about salvation one time, and they couldn't remember a time where they really got born again. But all they could talk about was, I do this now. Well, the Bible says salvation is repentance toward God. That means you turn from your way toward God, and it's faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, when I begin to talk about your salvation, your faith is toward everything you've done. I've talked to you for years. Have you ever been saved again? Oh, yeah, I was baptized, such and such. Yeah, but have you been born again? Well, I was baptized, such and such. Well, you've been born again. I joined the church, such and such. I watched it a prayer one time. No, I mean, when did you believe? When did you believe? So that God could count it as your righteousness. Now, repentance is what you won't turn to believe. That's what repentance is, change your mind. Repent and believe the gospel. But to him that worketh, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned. Now to him that worketh. So it's not working. If you work, the reward is not reckoned of grace. Because grace is undeserved. You can't pay for grace. But to him that worketh not, catch this now. If you underline your Bible, this is a good thing to underline. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So him that worketh not, him that is not trying to gain access to God by their righteousnesses, but they just simply believe, that faith counts for righteousness. Just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that belief in him is what God recognized. He counts that for righteousness. He reckons, he adds righteousness to your account. And then when that righteousness is added unto you, you are born again. And now as a son of God, you can begin to exhibit the characteristics of your heavenly Father. What the religious world said, I want to try to exhibit or try to show forth the characteristics of Heavenly Father without just simply believing that the only access to the Father is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. Imputeth means transfers righteousness Notice this. Without works. Now, I'm not saying that once you're born again, you don't do things for God. I'm just saying doing things for God will never, ever, never, ever get you born again. Because you're not just a... Those works don't get you, gain you the access. It's only that faith. And that's good news. Because what would be enough? How much could you do? And it says Abraham, if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof the glory. You know, this is why there's so many mean and ugly religious people. Ugly by mean action, not the way they look. It's because, you know, if I think it's my good work that got me in, then I can, hey, I'm somebody. Because, hey, I did something you couldn't do. Or I did something you didn't want to do. So, hey, since my good work got me in, you know, you're not too good. Now, if you just smart enough like me, you'd be born again like me. And that was grace. It's grace. He died, he buried, he rose again, and I believed on that. And then he saved me that day. And you know, because I take that same faith out, and then I share the gospel. That's why I can be people like Warren, that you know worked for years at midnight. I saw Maria the other day, by the way. Just bless my heart. Those of you remember Maria when we had the location on Queen Street. I thought, well, praise God. So I had a family with her taking care of her. I thought, well, glory to God. And just somebody else we just preached Christ to. And I was waiting for the day that Maria was going to get saved. Old Ramesh that used to sit back there and sleep. I was waiting for the day that Ramesh was going to get saved. And even, I think of even the lawyer and his girlfriend that came. I'm still waiting for the day they're going to be saved. You know, so it's all of them. Any of them, anytime, anyway, the gospel can. Because I realize that I'm no special catch. I believe the gospel can catch anybody. And we must believe that. If we don't believe that, then we do what most religion does. We just fish to be in the world, not really to catch anything. And when was the last time that you took the gospel to somebody believing that this could be the day? If you don't, then you need to repent. That means change your mind about the gospel. When's the last time you just, that person on your job, you think, man, I just got moved them out of there. God, show me, give me the opportunity to share Christ with them, because your gospel can save at any time, and your gospel can catch anyone. And though that person is bad news, your gospel says that's good news. Next time you see an enemy, say, man, praise God, I've got an enemy, that's good news, I've got an answer for them. It's called the gospel. I mean, this will change the mandate by which we do everything. We really repent and believe the gospel. I don't have time to finish all this today. I'm just go back to Mark 1, and I'm going to finish. I'll probably start with this one next week and finish it up. But I'm just going to introduce it in a couple of minutes, because the decision needs to be made. So we need to repent and believe the gospel really is the gospel. We must repent and believe the gospel can save at any time. We must repent and believe that the gospel can catch anyone. And number four, back in Mark 1, we must repent and believe that the gospel is important enough to forsake everything for. We must repent and believe that the gospel is important enough to forsake everything for. In verse 18 it says, and straightway, I'll read verse 17 again to keep the context. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Immediately forsook their nets. They forsook their livelihood and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, and the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. When Jesus said, come follow me to fish, they said, we're going. They didn't. You know, and I could, we'll say more about it the next week, but you know, they really just seemed to believe the gospel. Because see, here's the thing, if we really believed that, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, you know what's ruined gospel ministry? is church ministry. Because we, instead of just being consumed with gospel ministry, which is going out, and we just got to get everybody. Not just to bring them here, but they just got to be born again. I was thinking today, okay, three people that could be in our church today that got saved and baptized, they're in another church. You know, I'm not mad about that. I'm praise God they're saved and born again. Christine, and, you know, Deborah and Bernard. You know, thank God that they're saved here. You know, so I love people. I love to see them here because I like people. But I'm more excited that they're going to heaven when they die. and because that's what I came here for, the gospel. I didn't come here to build the church, you know. And every time I try to build a church, it doesn't go well. But when I come just to believe the gospel, man, things happen. And who knows? I mean, if I have to fill every church in town with people, I'll be okay with that for the gospel's sake. I mean, that'd be good news. I mean, if you're here today and you're lost and you're never born again, it would throw me to death. You got saved right now. If the only way you can be saved, you get born again right now, have to go to somebody else's church, that'd be okay with me. I'd rather that happen than have you sit here and be religiously faithful year after year after year and make our group bigger and you die and go to hell. But religion has come so content that if we could just get a crowd and get people in, we're not really that concerned about their spiritual condition, but we just feel good. We're getting this religious machine going. That's not the gospel. You know, most of the disciples really died before they got to see any real significant results, with the exception of Pentecost. Man, Stephen, man, he surrenders. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, and they stone him to death. And they hate the gospel so much they bite him, gnashing with their teeth. But his life was used so that Paul could be born again. That's the gospel. That's the way it works. But he did think it was worth forsaking everything for. Philip, he just out one day, and the Holy Ghost just sweeps him up. Of course, he had, all of a sudden, no, actually, Philip said, there's the Ethiopian eunuch over there. You need to go talk to him. Well, what? Well, the gospel. Man gets saved, next you know, the Spirit sweeps him up. He's in his oldest preaching. Why? You know why the Spirit of God can do that? Because Philip was not tied down to anything. The Spirit of God can move him because he believed the gospel is worth forsaking everything for. You know, we all live here in the city, actually, but, you know, I mean, God can't even move us from our schedule for the gospel. I mean, we still keep control of our own schedule, and God says, you know, just forsake everything for the gospel. You know, the gospel really is the gospel. It's the good news, amen? So when you leave here today and you go out and see somebody, and you think, man, you may see some rough cases even in the parking lot. Just think that's the person, that's the gospel. Say, sir, ma'am, have you heard the gospel? I've got some good news for you. First time I started preaching, I remember I was working at a turkey plant, and these guys got the crazy, talking all their garbage and ungodly language, and I just said, hey, I've got some good news for you. I've got the gospel. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. I don't know how you came here today. You may be overloaded with bills. You may be overloaded with health problems. You may be overloaded with family problems. You may be overloaded just emotionally. You may be stressed out, where to live, car payment, house payment, rent payment, whatever. Can I just tell you some good news? Believe the gospel. You know, this stuff that we consume, does this all temporary. The gospel is eternal. Change your mind and believe the gospel. You can't come to church enough to become one of God's children. Jesus did all the work already. He paid the price. He came. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Jesus took your death for you. He paid the wage for your sin freedom. And he died and was buried so you would know and I would know his complete death. And he was in the ground 3 days and three nights so that we know it's not just some fake thing happened. He really was dead. He really did take the death for the sin of the world. And then guess what? He came up. He came up proving he had power of life and death in his hands. So you would know that if you believe on him, you're believing in the one that has power of life and death in his hands. Child of God, when's the last time you told somebody the gospel? And if you're not born again today, God would have you believe the gospel. The message is the same for all of us. If we're born again, we need to change our mind, because all of us, even myself included, at different times thought, man, that person might be a little bit hard to reach. Change your mind as we believe, repent and believe the gospel. Or We may think, well, I'm too busy to reach that person. I'm too busy to help there. I'm too busy to try to go with the gospel here. Change your mind, repent, and believe that the gospel is here. You may turn on the news this morning and look at a man, is it safe to live anywhere anymore? Yeah, there is. It's safe to live in heaven. Amen. That's the good news. Amen. Because when you, this is all temporal, you know. If you're not born again today, stop worrying about what think of people will think and what you just repent and believe the gospel. You'll be glad you got saved. You know, I think everybody here knows, I'll say it again just because I'm glad I'm saved. I was preaching the Bible, I was preaching in jails and the prison, and I was lost. I never believed the gospel. I kept thinking that I could, my righteousness would get me to God. I had the praise of men, I had people thinking I'm changed, and people thinking I'm different. But the Spirit of God really rested my heart, and I realized, and all these things I was doing, I still felt so far away from God, and I couldn't understand why. And the answer was because I was trying to get to God by my works instead of simply doing like Abraham did, disbelieve God, and it would count. And finally, it all made sense. One Wednesday morning back in 1993, I understood that Jesus paid it all. He did it all. When he said it is finished, that meant he meant it was finished. The price paid for me to gain access to the Father through Jesus Christ. It was paid. And that morning, I turned and called upon God. I believed on Jesus Christ for my salvation. And you know what? It counted for my righteousness. And I've been saved ever since that day. And thank God for the gospel. Father, you know what you like to do in our midst. You know who you brought here today. You know if there's anybody here today that has never been born again. And Lord, you've already spoken to their heart. Would you give them the faith, simply to believe the gospel and to leave here unashamed, trusting in you for their own salvation. Give them the heart that would turn from anything in their trusting in except but you, and they would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And Father, for those of us that are born again, you know how we view the gospel. You know if we view it can save it at any time. You know if we believe if we can catch anyone. And you know if we believe if it's really, if we really worth forsaking everything for it. God, you know our hearts. You know where we're lacking. And you know where you'd like us to be. And you've already told us. So give us the faith just to trust you and to obey what you told us to do. Thank you, Jesus Christ, you give us this privilege to talk to you in prayer. I trust that God spoke in your heart. If God spoke to your heart, would you talk back to him right now? If you're not born again, you want to settle that right now, all you got to do is either call upon God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation.